Well, we are learning
that when you start to
beef up stuff, you need more power. In difficult times, you need more power. Here's the thing. In coronavirus, you need more power. You need the power of the Holy Ghost. I tell you, if you have the power of the Holy Ghost, you'll be okay. Because to live is Christ, and to die is gain. So we're learning,
and we're striving. Praise the Lord. I know what's happening these days. Everything seemed not to be working. I couldn't get my printer working.
So I send my notes to me on email. So you see how that worked today. Praise the Lord. Sister Deborah, I listened to your message this morning, if you're on, and you gave a good word. God is looking for seekers. That was the word from the church in Trinidad this morning. They meet earlier than we do. And she said, God is looking for seekers. And the scripture that comes to my mind always is, if God's people will humble themselves, turn from their wicked ways, seek my face. There's some steps to be taken. And it's not steps of God, it's steps we have to take. And then, you know, I've been reading through my devotions. I started the Bible again. If you have never read through the Bible, it's time to start. You should be halfway through it with this coronavirus. But I'm reading through the Bible, and every time the God's people had a righteous person leading, they would live good until that person died. Soon as that person died, they go back to their evil ways. And sometimes it takes them a while. And sometimes it takes them at the enemy knocking at their door. Sometimes it takes them to be in a bad place, and then they cry out to God. And as they cry out to God, God sends somebody. Folks, if you feel like we're in a bad place, and we are, it's time to cry out to God. Because God can and will deliver his people. If you have your Bibles, we're going to be reading from Matthew chapter 27, where we left off 2 weeks ago. Matthew 27. From verse 11. If you see me limping a little bit, I dropped a 2x6 on my foot, but praise God, I still could walk. Verse 11. Now Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus said, "You have said so." But when he was accused by the chief priests and elders, he gave no answer. Then Pilate said to him, "Do you not hear how many things they testify against you?" But he gave them no answer, not even a single chance. Charge, so that the governor was greatly amazed. We're going to go further than that in the preaching, but this morning I want to look at a few things. It is hard sometimes to come up with stuff when you're going through, and to seek God, it makes you seek God more when you're going through a book. But this morning, we see some things about Jesus. Jesus stood before the judge. In order for the King of Kings to stand before a profane man, an ungodly man, that was going to judge him and condemn him, he understood his role in his Father's plan. I don't know about you, but when you feel like you're being judged, and you're being judged by somebody you feel that is beneath you, it's kind of difficult. But Jesus, as Philippians told us, Jesus gave up all of that and humbled himself. And here, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, are being judged by man. And an ungodly man. But Jesus understood his role in the Father's plan. John chapter 1 and verse 11 says, he came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Jesus knew and understood his role. Therefore, he can stand before our ungodly man and be quiet to all his accusers. Jesus knew he was the Christ. It says this. Now Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, "Are you the King of the Jews?" And Jesus said, "You have said so." Jesus knew who he was. Here is my question. In this time, do you know who you are? First John tells us, to all that believe, we have become the sons of God. This morning, do you understand that you are a son of God? Do you understand that you are a daughter of God? Do you understand that you have been adopted by God? Do you know who you are? Sometimes we allow circumstances. Sometimes we allow situation. Sometimes we allow coronavirus to define who we are. But this morning, you need to know, as you stand in this environment, that you are a child of God. Jesus said, "You have said it." What he was saying, that's who I am. The world is going to have many questions. The world is going to say many things, but you must know who you are. Jesus' response was according to the will of the Father. We talked about last week for the resurrection that Jesus was saying what God is saying and doing what God is doing. So Jesus' response is the response of the Father. Now, John chapter 18 give us a little bit more information and verse 35. Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priests have delivered you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would have been fighting that I might be delivered, not be delivered over to the Jews, but my kingdom is not of this world." That didn't just come out of the air. He was saying what the Father is saying. My kingdom. Here is the thing. Where is your kingdom? I like the song writer that says, "This world is not my home. I am just passing through. My treasures are laid down somewhere beyond the blues." And God is calling us. You know why we don't have fear? You know why we don't shrink back? Because we know that our kingdom is not of this world. Jesus knew where he was going. How can we do the same? How can we respond with the same thing? We have to depend on the Holy Spirit. You know, in this time, you have to depend on the Holy Spirit. Somebody asked a question. When in a little session we had Friday, they asked a question. When people say to us, how can a good God bring about such an evil virus? Not only that, if God is so good, why don't he stop this virus? Look how many people are dying. Folks, we need the wisdom of the Holy Spirit, because each individual will need a different answer. Some of them, you may say nothing at all. And some you have to give answer to, but you have to have the Holy Spirit. Luke chapter 12 and verse 11. And when they bring you before the synagogues and the rulers and the authorities, do not be anxious of how you should defend yourself or what you should say. For the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say. A lot of unbelievers, a lot of people who don't trust in God have questions, and they are asking us. We cannot come up with our own answers. We must depend on the Holy Spirit. Because he says here, for the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say. Here is my question. Do you know the voice of God? Do you understand when God is speaking? When the accusations come, do you know how to keep your mouth quiet? Because the Holy Spirit says, say nothing. Do you know how to speak when the Holy Ghost says, say this? Folks, God can give you the words. Jeremiah 1 and verse 9 tells us, then the Lord put his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said to me, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. God can put words in your mouth to all the accusation that will come your way. God could put words in your mouth to do evangelism in this day, this time, this hour. Hear what Isaiah says. Isaiah 51 and verse 15. I am the Lord your God who stirs up the sea so that its waves roar. The Lord of hosts is his name. I have put my words in your mouth. I have put my words in your mouth. You know what I want? What I want in this time, what I want in this very situation, what I want to be able to tell folks when they come and they ask me what's going on, I want the words of God. I want God to put those words in my mouth. Some of you may say, well, you know, I don't have what it takes. That's why we have to depend on the Holy Spirit. You know, there was a man who told God that, Exodus chapter 4 and verse 10. But Moses said to the Lord, oh, my Lord, I am not eloquent, even in the past or since you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and of tongue. Then the Lord said to him, Who has made man's mouth? Who made him mute or deaf or seeing or blind? It is not I, the Lord. Now therefore go, and I will be your mouth. And I will be your mouth. Are we trusting God to be our mouth? I'll tell you this. I don't understand why God chose me. There is more eloquent people in this world. There are people who can read without making mistakes. But you know what I have to do? I have to trust God that He will put the words in my mouth. You see, when Jesus stand before the judge, when Jesus stand before those who was accusing him, he didn't have to wonder what he was going to say because he was saying what the Father was saying. And the only way we can do that is to have the Holy Ghost inside of us. What is sad today, some of us will wait. It's only now that the coronavirus is here that we're preparing ourselves for it. The church should have been long prepared for this. The church should have been already a church that prays. The church should have already been a church that seeks God's face. This should not be something that bring fear, bring anxiety. Why? Because we have sought God's face. Jesus, in the highlight of his ministry, where the time was more pressing, and he knew what he was about to face, he spent time in God. He was prepared for the cross. Do you all know that? In Luke chapter 9 and verse 28. Now about the 8th hour after these sayings, he took with him Peter and James and John and went up to the mountain to pray. And as he was praying, the appearance of his face was altered and his clothes became dazzling white. And behold, two men were talking with him, Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spoke of his departure, which he was about to accomplish in Jerusalem. While in prayer, here comes Moses and Elijah. And what did they do? They spoke to him about his departure. What was about to come? Here is my question. I have heard so many prophets prophesying. Somebody sent me some videos. I see a man prophesying. He could tell you what you're wearing. He could tell you where you are. But nobody came out and tell us beforehand what God was about to do to this nation, to this world, because nothing happens without God lifting his hands. Nothing. Where were the prophets? But in prayer, I believe if we were a praying church, if we were a praying people, somebody would have gotten it. Jesus was prepared way before because Jesus was a man of prayer. And in prayer, in the presence of the glory of God, they spoke to him about his departure and what he was about to accomplish in Jerusalem. Why can he go through the suffering? Because he knew what he was about to accomplish. Why could he take the thorns on his head? Because he knew what he was about to accomplish. Why could he stand before an ungodly judge and be condemned? Because he knew what he was about to accomplish. You want to know what God's plan is? Spend time with God. And when you know what you're going to have to accomplish for God, you can go through anything because you know it's God's will and plan for your life. If we walk right and uprightly, God will prove our innocence. Jesus' innocence was revealed. Jesus' innocence was revealed. Matthew 7:27, verse 18. Here's what the judge says. For he knew that it was out of envy that they had delivered him up. First revelation. This man, not guilty. Second, besides, while he was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent word to him, have nothing to do with that righteous man, for I have suffered much because of him today in a dream. His innocence revealed. But here's the thing. Your innocence does not mean that you'll be set free from your hardship. Your innocence doesn't mean that you're going to be set free. Some of us believe because we are innocent, we'll be set free. But what is God's plan? What is God's plan? Sometimes we walk away and we are angry with God. We are displeased with what God is doing because we don't understand his plan. When I first came to the United States, I was going to a church in Florida. And this lady, she was suffering because of her, when you can't breathe, asthma. And her asthma had gotten so bad, and she was an older lady, and I went to visit her in the hospital. And you know, when I left the hospital, I was the one encouraged. She's lying there suffering. I went to give her encouragement. And she was the one that encouraged me. In her suffering, she was still doing the plan of God, the will of the Father. Sometimes you may be innocent, but still suffer because it's the will of the Father for his plan. First Peter chapter 3 and verse 14. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 14. It says, but even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. Have no fear of them, nor be troubled. But in your own heart, honor Christ the Lord as holy. Always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect, having a good conscience, so that when you are slandered, those who revile you for good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. I wonder this morning, how many of us, when we are slandered for righteousness, or we are slandered because we are doing unrighteousness, but yet call ourselves a Christian. For it is better to suffer for doing good, if it should be God's will, than for doing evil. For it's better to suffer for doing good. What was Christ doing? The songwriter tells me, anywhere he went, he was doing good. He was the righteous healer. He cleansed the leper. When the people saw him, they start rejoicing because anywhere he went, he was doing good. And because of his good acts, he is now suffering. And Peter tells us, he says, for it is better to suffer for doing good if that should be God's will. Lord, you know me. I don't want to suffer. I don't know about you. I don't want to suffer. Sometimes it's not up to us. Sometimes we suffer for what we do. Or if God has a call on your life and he has a mission for you to complete, if having great suffering is part of that, you have no way to escape it, even if the judge sees that you are not guilty. Jesus was rejected for another. Which Jesus are you serving? If you read, it was Jesus who is and then there's Jesus the Messiah. Do you know that both of them that will be to release was Jesus? If you read the scripture, one was Jesus Barabbas. There we go. And then Jesus the Messiah. Verse 27. The governor asked and said to them, which of the two do you want me to release to you? And they said, Barabbas. Pilate said to them, then what shall I do with Jesus, who is the Christ? And they say, let him be crucified. And he said, why? What evil has he done? But they shouted all the more, let him be crucified. You know, we always have a choice on who we're going to choose. And I think back then this scripture was, and back now this scripture here that's coming should be something that we remember. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 23, it says, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to the Jews and folly to the Gentiles. They didn't understand. Do you know that? They really did not understand. And today we are faced with the same problem. Some people cannot see it. They don't understand it. It's foolishness. How can one man come and die for the sins of us all? Not only that, they have the question, if there truly is a God, why is all of this happening? But here's the key. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 24. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greek, Christ the power of God and the wisdom. But those who are called. But those who are called. Are you part of the called? You see, to everybody else, this is going to be foolishness. To everyone else, they don't understand. They're looking at coronavirus and they don't understand what's going on. But to you who are called, you know that God is still God. But to you who are called, the psalmist says, I look unto the hills where cometh my strength. No! That's not where I'm not going to look to the hills. I'm going to look to God. Folks, every day I look to God. Every time I walk through Walmart to pick up a few stuff, I'm looking to God. Every time my daughter comes home from work, I look to God. Why? Because he's my hope. He's my hope. If you're tuning in today and you don't have hope, I want to introduce you to hope. Hope is Jesus Christ. He came. He lived. He died. He rose again so that you will have life and have hope. No Christian should be walking around in this time without hope. Because if you have Christ, as the song says in the end, and I like that word, don't matter what. Don't matter what. Life, death, don't matter what. Folks, don't get me wrong. I'm not ready to go. I want to live to 120. A healthy 120, that is. Don't get me wrong. I want to see my grandchildren. I would love to see my great-great-grandchildren. But when God is on the scene, I have no fear. Why? Because to live is to live for Christ, and to die is to be with Christ. And if you don't have that hope, today is your day. The Bible tells us, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Today, you can be one of the call. You find a place. Find a place today and get before God. And open up yourself to him and say, Father, forgive me, for I've sinned. And ask him for forgiveness. You know what you have done. And those who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So, as we close, we're going to sing that song one more time. Don't matter what. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
A lot of us grew up believing at any moment we could lose it all. At the drop of a hat, God might turn his back and move on. A lot of us feel like we blew it, thinking that we're just too far gone. But I want you to know there is still hope for you now. No matter what you've done, you can't erase his love. Nothing can change it. You're not separated, no matter what. There's never been a better time to get honest. There's never been a better time to get clean. So come as you are, run to the cross and be free. Oh, be free. No matter what you've done, you can't erase his love. Nothing can change it, you're not separated. No matter where you run, he's always holding. You're still a daughter, you're still a son, no matter what. Don't know what you've been taught, don't know what you've been told. All I know is my God will never let go of you. No, I don't know what you've seen, don't know what you've been. can't change it. We're not separated. No matter where you run, He's always holding on. You're still a daughter. You're still a son. No matter what. Hallelujah. 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 Praise you, Jesus. Father, we exalt you this morning. We praise your name and thank you for your goodness and your mercy and your love, God. Father, we exalt you because in you, Lord, we live and move and have our being. Father, today, O God, we pray, O God, for the church. We ask, O God, that you would help us, O God. Lord, on behalf of the church, we repent. We ask, O God, that you forgive us, O God. Forgive us, O Lord God, for being so lukewarm, for being so complacent. And help us, O God, in this time, O God, that we would change course and that we will run with you, walk with you, live with you. In Jesus' name. And Father, we pray, God, that all those, Lord God, that needs a touch, that you will touch their hearts, their minds, their soul, bring healing and deliverance. We think about Rhonda and the infection in her leg. Lord, touch. We think of her son that needs a touch to get away from those drugs in the name of Jesus. Father, we think about her father who is experiencing cancer right now. We pray that you will touch. And Father, the greatest touch of all is that they would let you take hold of their lives. Father, take hold of their lives. Send Holy Spirit and draw them in the name of Jesus. And Father, we ask, oh God, that this week we will continue, Lord, to trust you. Trust you, Lord God, for healing. Trust you, oh God, to keep us from this terrible virus. And we pray, God, as we today, we pray for the president. We pray that you will continue to give him wisdom in the name of Jesus. We pray, oh God, that every lie of the enemy will be revealed. And oh God, that you would use him to do your will and your work in Jesus' name. Father, we pray, Lord, for all the workers who work in the health field that is every day seeing these patients. Oh God, that you will protect them, put a hedge around them, and Father, give them safety. In Jesus' name. Lord, we pray for all those grocery store workers because we still have to go to the grocery, that you will keep them safe. In Jesus' name, we pray for those pharmacy that is open to the public. Lord, we pray that you will touch them. And Lord, we pray that those who are acting the fool and doing things they shouldn't be doing, that you would just hinder them from doing it. And Lord, bring a sense of stability back to this country in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen.